You're listening to Radio Caravan with host Scott Hayes, healthy lifestyle coach Jill Harvey, and sound engineer April Johnson.
Come on.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. And we got a full house this morning. It's going to be a great show. Just a reminder, Radio Caravan appears, broadcasts 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays on Cox Channel 3, 250,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. I think I keep upping that number every time I say it.
But you're a math
whiz. I'm a math whiz, exactly.
We know that.
This weekend's show, I think, is John Batdorf. Who's a great, great singer-songwriter, who was in probably about a month ago or so. Also, you can now like us on Facebook at Facebook, /Radio Caravan, thanks to our intern, Katie Fetters, who's in the room today with her father, Paul. Do I have that right? Paul, come here for a sec, real quickly. What's the name of your fitness facility?
It's called The Training Spot, and it's in we have two of them in Huntington Beach, and we have a third one opening up in Costa Mesa coming in February.
Yeah, very nice. And you were telling us outside that you are a state championship bodybuilder, or what's the
state title? National championship. I won the Mr. America version. It's a national championship in 1997.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in bodybuilding.
And round of applause. Golf clap for Paul.
Yeah,
very nice, Paul.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, that's the golf clap. Hey, I'm here with my co-host, Jim Bastian. By the way, Jim, you just got back from Washington, D.C. to do what?
One of my best friends from college, Noah Mehmet, was sworn in as our nation's ambassador to Argentina.
Wow.
And he went through a very arduous process to get confirmed, and ultimately it all came together in the last couple of weeks. So they threw together a quick swearing-in ceremony at the White House. Vice President Biden swore him in.
Wow.
Me and about 20 of our friends from college and professionally went out. I took my wife and daughter. It was surreal. We got to go into the West Wing of the White House, back into the Roosevelt Room, which is two steps away from the Oval Office, which was pretty neat. Funny thing that we were all standing there gathering, waiting for the ceremony to start, and we're all kind of just hanging out. And all of a sudden, there's this flurry of commotion below us. And we're like, what the heck is that? Bo the dog came running through, greeting everybody. And we're sort of bouncing this, you know, big, fluffy black dog. And he came in and, you know, greeted everybody and then flew out of there. I guess he's got full run of the White House, goes wherever he wants.
How funny is that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So you got the pet Bo.
Yeah, a little bounce on the nose, a little slobber, too. Yeah.
But a great experience. I got to believe, first time at the White House. And
yeah, I've done the public tour, but to get in the West Wing where all the action happens is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And it's not that big. You know, it's a pretty small office overall. Uh-huh. You know, again, we were like two steps away from the Oval Office.
Yeah.
And then what was interesting is President Obama wasn't there. He had left earlier. Biden left to go give a speech. And we're all sort of hanging out. Nobody else was in the building but us.
Wow.
And one security guard. So we're kind of like, well, when are they going to kick us out? We ended up hanging out for about a half hour and then went across the street to the Hay Adams to grab a celebratory drink. And
did you go through anybody's drawers or anything?
Well, you know, it was funny you say that. My mom, of course, was like, hey, you got to get something. You know, get some Kleenex or some M&Ms or something, figuring that everything would be eagle clad. But there was nothing. You would have no indication that we were in the White House based on everything there. So I'm in the bathroom, right? And I'm like, there's this cabinet. And so I grab the cabinet and I'm like, oh, here's the dilemma. I'm going to open this thing up and a bunch of marbles are going to fall out or something. So I slowly opened the cabinet and I was expecting to see, you know, like a supply of something.
Yeah.
No, just some Glade air freshener. And that was
it. Was it?
That was it. So nothing spectacular out of that, but it was overall a great experience.
That sounds great. Yeah. Well,
welcome. Really special day for my buddy, and he's looking forward to heading down there. He starts January, like, 15th in Argentina, and we met the Argentine ambassador to the U.S., and he's going to do a pretty good job of trying to build the relations between the countries. So
that sounds great. Well, I trust that when he, your friend, comes to Southern California, we should be able to get him on the show.
Well, it's funny. I was just texting him this morning. He's going to be here for a couple more weeks before he leaves. So we can possibly do something in that regard. I'm going to talk to him.
That would raise our credibility. I don't know. Fivefold, tenfold, a hundredfold.
Plus, he's a cool guy. You'd like him.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So. Hey, Jill Harvey's in the room, by the way.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Jill. And we're going to get to your segment after Kieran, or do you want to go
first? Whatever you would like to do.
All right.
Okay, I'll go.
All right, we'll go with Jill first. Jill Harvey, healthy lifestyle tips, hype lifestyle coach?
You know.
Whatever.
Coach, tips, you know, reporter, whatever.
Guru.
Guru. No, I don't like that word guru. I don't want to be anybody's guru. No, no, too much work.
You know, I want to mention, by the way, yeah. I was at the Renaissance Club Sports, right, in Aliso Viejo the other day, and they have a phenomenal fitness facility there. I had never seen it before, and Jill took me on a tour. And on the sort of the foyer part, there's this big poster on the wall, and there's a huge picture of Miss Jill Harvey there doing a one-handed push-up, I think.
No, it's two hands. It's actually a plank and knee. And
Yeah. She's quite the celebrity there. So. Mm. All right, what do we got today?
So today, you know, we're coming into 2015. Hard to believe. So we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Do you guys make resolutions?
Yes.
Try.
Yeah, Scott?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, so rip them up. Don't do it. They don't work. They don't work.
Yeah.
So they just, you know, there's an end point, and there is a failure rate that's unbelievable. I always call it when I'm teaching, that's the three-week magical workout a year. That's all you need. Just 3 weeks every year. So it's in January. But there is the first 2 weeks kind of go smoothly. The third week, it's kind of rough. You're starting to, by February, you're backsliding big time. And by December, the next December, you are back right where you were and maybe even worse. So they don't work.
Yeah, I know that cycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you think the weather plays a part in that? Because, you know, you have this resolution. Oh, I'm going to jog 3 miles and get up in the morning, and it's freezing.
No. No, it's an excuse for sure. And April's right, because actually in Psychology Today, they say it's a form of procrastination. So, like, right now, people are like, oh, I'll eat this. I'll smoke a little more pot. I'll eat this. I'll have pizza. And then, and, you know, come the new year, what?
She winks at me for some reason.
I winked at Scott. And so, you know, we'll have pizza and we'll just wait till the new year. Let's just trash it out, right? Yeah. So, but this happens throughout the day. And then there's a professor, a psychology professor, Peter Herman, who says it's a false hope syndrome. Mm. So people set themselves up because they are not, their resolutions do not match their internal dialogue or what they really believe. They're not ready to commit to a full lifestyle change. So, you know, it's really that deep internal dialogue, and you have to get serious with yourself and look at what you're doing and decide that you're worth it. The goals aren't realistic. And we look at this letdown, right? People think, oh, if I exercise more, if I lose weight, if I get out of debt, my whole life's going to change.
Right.
And it doesn't. And so we have to look, and we think of it as a self form of self-motivation.
Right.
And it can be, but we have to be realistic about it. So what do we do? How do we do this? We have to commit to every day. Every day should be like a New Year's resolution. You need to look at the word resolve. And the word resolve is what? We're resolving to give something up or to add something or do something. And we have to really commit to that. You have to ask yourself, you know, am I worth it? Do I? How do I want to be? I'm committing to my life, that journey down the road,
right?
Not just for a year, not just for a high school reunion or a cruise. And everything starts with a thought in life, right? Everything. And then there's an action, and then there's a consequence. So your thoughts create consequences. So you're either contributing to your life or you're breaking it down. And you need to be really clear on that. Just, it's kind of a growing up process. We need to just grow up. And also, just kind
why
of...
Why did you look at me like that?
I just had a feeling.
We know why, Jim.
You have that mischievous look.
Yes, of course.
Yes, you do. But you don't want to also think restriction or deprivation, because then you're sure to fail. Because at that end point, you're going to be back to what you thought you had to give up. So we want to think more healthy, like we're adding wonderful choices to our life. You're going to get up every day. You're going to move. You're going to eat something healthy. And it doesn't mean you can't have what you don't want to have.
Let me ask, though. I mean, do we set this sort of agenda at the first of the year, or should we just
start tomorrow
before all the festivities and all the cakes and the candies and the cookies?
Yeah, start now, right now. You know, start right now by being present. You know, I like to call it showing up in your life, fully awake, fully aware, and fully committed to living passionately. So, you know, it's really that sense of not letting your past, you know, your past regrets, your past failures define your present life. Mm-hmm. And so many of us sit in that. We really do. We, oh, you know, I sucked at this or I did this. And even if it's just a moment ago or just yesterday, get over it. You know, move on. And look at the components of life. We have exercise. We have nutrition. Those aren't the only things. You need stress management. You need to really balance your sleep. Are you sleeping well? And your mental outlook. Huge. Huge. Do you have a good mental outlook, Jim?
I think I do.
Yeah.
But Scott? I don't get enough sleep.
But what?
I don't get enough sleep.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah,
we talked about that before.
We did, yeah. April's real disciplined. April, get on the mic for a second here.
Yeah, she is.
Yes.
April, you're very disciplined with your workouts and your diet, yes? Is that fair of me to suggest?
Yeah, I think so.
And you train practically every day, and sometimes you get up and run 6 miles. When on those days that you don't feel like getting up and doing that, or on those days you feel like having a pancake instead of oatmeal, how do you sort of, what sort of tricks do you play with yourself to keep focused?
I think about how I'm going to feel after if I had that pancake versus oatmeal. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. And I feel, I remember how I feel after that 6 mile run or that 3 mile run and lifting some weights and how good I feel when I'm done with it. So it's kind of like the what you think about the big picture more than how you feel at the moment.
Right.
And that it's just so worth it. Mm-hmm. And when you eat oatmeal like I do every day, like my boyfriend looks at me like, how do you eat oatmeal every day? You actually do get used to it and you like it and you can do things to mix it up, like a little bit of nut topping and fruit. And it's good.
Right.
It's way better than people.
April, you're
you know,
so cool. I mean, Sonia, you're so cool.
Yeah, I'm on.
what's the Sonia thing?
Oh, that's
Sonia,
the name
the
we
sound
came
engineer.
Up with. Sonia, the sound engineer.
That's my sound engineer name.
I got you.
But, you know, I do like, you know, but if you're going to have a pancake, have it once in a while.
Yeah.
Just, you know, don't eat a stack this high, right?
Yeah.
You know, 3 feet high.
And don't load it with butter. Like, just kind of be smart. Put some blueberries on it.
Because in life, you don't want to be a Puritan. I, by no means, am a Puritan. I have friends who are Puritans. And I used to be. It's a very stressful way to live. Mm-hmm. So don't be a Puritan. Enjoy life. You know, get out there and live. And remember that, you know, when you're eating, look at what you're about to put in your mouth and ask yourself, what is this going to do to me? That could get really creepy, by the way. Sorry, I saw some looks.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And you remember,
went over my head.
Wasn't me.
Remember that your thoughts create things. So Mike Dooley, who has Tut.com, thoughts create things. So what we're thinking today creates our tomorrows. Wake up, embrace your life, feel gratitude, and that should motivate you. You know, practice mindfulness and laugh and love and just enjoy.
Beautiful. Yeah. Hey, Paul, can you come over here one more time? We were talking at the beginning of the show, well before the show, about you're a nutritionist. That's sort of your area of expertise. If you could offer one bit of advice to listeners and viewers in terms of their healthy eating habits, what might that be?
Oh, boy. I can put myself out of business by this piece of advice right here. Okay. So, everyone, I want you to really hear this. It's all about portion size.
Yes.
That's everything. I mean, Jill, you were perfect. You talked about, you don't have to be a purist. You can enjoy those things.
Yes.
And then we also talked about the oatmeal. So what I do is, well, first of all, the reason I eat well and I exercise and I do the things that I do is because there's such a big payoff, right?
True.
I probably wouldn't do any of it if there wasn't a payoff. But the quality of life, how I feel, how I look is important to me, so I'll make those choices. So you can do that with your food. So I always tell people my favorite thing, I would love to have just a blueberry muffin and a cup of coffee for breakfast, but I don't do that. I do my egg whites, I'll do my oatmeal, I'll do my nuts, because that's going to help me feel a certain way.
Absolutely.
And it's worth it to me. Now, am I going to have that blueberry muffin? Yes. Every once in a while I'm going to do that. It's probably going to be on a Sunday because I'm going to want to take a nap within a half an hour.
So cool.
Right? So have the things you enjoy. Just control them. And then when you give yourself the opportunity to have the pizza or whatever your favorite thing is, you don't go crazy. When you deny yourself for so long and then you have a chance to eat it, you go crazy.
Absolutely.
And then that's when you get into trouble.
Paul, tell us the name of your fitness facility again.
It's called The Training Spot.
And they're located?
They're in Huntington Beach and the new one coming up in Costa Mesa.
All right. Ooh. Thank you, man. We've got to get you back on the show. Hey,
yeah.
Jill, anything else?
Well, you know, here's something I'd love to do. It's a little odd. If you really want to stand in your life and commit, strip naked and stand in front of the mirror. Stand in front of the mirror and just look.
All right, let's
at
all do that right now.
Let's do
that.
Cyrus's eyes just bulged out.
And he was looking at me.
I was like, whoa.
But just look in the mirror.
FM
what
radio.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, here's what I like about that, right? And so I do a lot of nutrition talks. And one of the things I like to start by telling that story. But the way that I put it, I say the way to keep from eating too much at one time is to stand up naked in front of a mirror, because most restaurants will throw you out before you have a chance to actually eat too much, right?
I like that. That's you can get messy. But, you know, it's also about the internal health. So it's not just our physical vanity approach.
Yeah.
How are your organs operating? That's really important, especially as we get older. We want a healthy heart.
Yeah.
We want a healthy brain.
Yeah.
Paul, right? I got 50% off my meal last time I did that.
What? April. Let's go do it together.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, Jill.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. Golf clap. Golf clap.
Yes.
Very nice, Miss Jill.
Thank you.
Hey, also in the studio, we have Kieran Muis, Up to Speed. We're calling it Up to Speed.
Up to Speed, getting everybody in Orange County up to speed on the latest and greatest trends in art. And one of the reasons I really love being in Orange County, I recently went to the Brett Rubico Gallery, and they've got a really great collection. And
where is this located?
It's located off of Newport Boulevard, like a block away from a restaurant.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic little niche spot. It's by appointment. So I set an appointment with him and went and had the opportunity to see. He has a collection right now of 28 artists, and he's known for doing minimalist type of artwork. And the minimalistic art was kind of a movement that spun out from the sensory overload of Impressionism and everything else that came before it. So he said something that really caught my eye, because not only is he a gallerist, but Brett Rubico is also an artist. And he actually had some of his works up, and it was a tribute to paper and books. And he said that he really likes art that slows down his heartbeat.
Wow, I like that.
And it put it in perspective. He said, you know, we're living in this world where we're inundated by stimulation, and it's so fast at pace that, you know, just to slow it down a bit. And that really encompassed his sentence, really encompassed the whole beauty of minimalistic art, which is always a favorite among interior designers and so forth and collectors. What's special, too, about the collection that he had of his own specific work, it's all done in steel, and he had this page. So he takes works of steel. It was a piece of paper with a corner bent, but he molded it, and he compared it to the weight. He said, you know, it has the weight of like an iPad. I was kind of surprised myself.
Yeah.
And a book. And I asked him, is this a slap in the face to technology or homage to the paper era, you know?
That's a good question.
And he said a bit of both, you know.
Nice.
And it was, you know, there's that nostalgia and his specific work. And there were some other artists that were incredibly of note too. But one of the things I did want to point out with this specific show, which stands out, is that you can acquire original artwork for $795 or $895, depending on the size of the piece. Mm-hmm. And these are all very highly acclaimed artists, such as Leah Salgado, who kind of jumped off of the wall to me as a woman, because her art was kind of a nod to Georgia O'Keeffe. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot of floral, I want to say it's not quite a sculpture, but their paintings, I thought they were steel. They were in the shape of panties.
Cool.
And I am a huge, like,
eyebrows
French,
raised.
Yeah. I'm a French lingerie fanatic. So this just caught my eye. And I thought it was steel, but it was actually paper that she gets a razor blade and X-Acto knife and sits there and cuts out every little detail. I was blown away when he told me it was paper, because after she layers it and has these textures on there, I've never seen anything like it. It was just amazing and very visual and sensual at the same time.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And also, You can find Brett Rubico at BrettRubicoGallery.com or on Facebook.
Good.
And hopefully you'll be able to be a part. The opening was December the 6th, but there's also an acquisition party. So if you're lucky, you'll be able to go there and give a holiday gift that, you know, is kind of out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent. Kieran, a round of applause. Golf clap for Miss Kieran Muis. Very nice job. Thank you. Very educational.
Very.
I feel like I'm in a classroom learning from you every time.
Well, you know, I actually thought that was a great way to start, is because I had a conversation with my brother. He was complaining about Dada. Dadaism is the art that's kind of like, I went to the Pompidou Center in Paris and saw a Dada exhibition and was let down because I wasn't as highly educated as I am now. And I walked in the doors ready to be blown away, and there was a bunch of refrigerators with the door open. And my brother was saying, how is this art? You know, what the heck? This, you know, a kid could do this. Like, and I told him, I said, now I realize it's not about the beauty necessarily. It's not about the aesthetic. It's not about the weight of the piece. I said, a lot of times, it's about the theory. And Dadaism spun out during World War II in protest to Hitler. He was dictating that art maintain a certain aesthetic. There's a lot of symmetry. You had to have this certain ideal, and was literally going around and confiscating and imprisoning artists who didn't fit his mold of what art should be. So they came around and had this kind of revolution and said, you know, art could be ridiculous. Art can be out of the ordinary. And R. Mutt and his fountain really kind of spun that off. He went and bought a urinal kind of like at a hardware store, turned it upside down and said, you know, is this a urinal or is this a fountain? And it's that dialogue, you know, it's that theory to get people to take a second glance. Beautiful. And kind of question what they're doing. So,
woo, very nice. Whee! Yeah.
We've gone everywhere this morning.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, yeah. We went from standing naked in front of a mirror to urinals upside down and paper lingerie.
And yeah. I need a nap.
And that sounds like a nasty fountain. Just saying.
You're not drinking it.
No.
Hey, one last thing, and then we got to go. We got a great guest coming in. We got a great guest coming in. This afternoon is the Lauren Powers Christmas Classic Fitness Competition and Party. Miss Jill, I know you're going to be there. That's
I'll
at the Community Center on Park Avenue in Costa Mesa. Competition is between 3 and 9 p.m., followed by the Celebration Dance Party, I think, from 9 to midnight.
Yes.
I think the E-Crew, is it the E-Crew that's going
to
be there?
The E-Crew is going to be there. And if you want to get your face on film, you need to be there a little before 5. That's her reveal at 5. And then the party and festivities will start as well. But it's a good time. Aren't we all kind of going to be there?
I think I think everybody's sort of geared up for it. Yeah.
You go gala.
Yeah, I've got the Mission Hospital gala. Tonight.
You do, yeah.
At the St. Regis. Yeah, it's gala, gala, tomato.
There you go.
By the way, a huge donation of $10 million just made to the Missions Hospital.
Very happy. Wow. Big announcement from Bill Gross from PIMCO.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on that for a while. Real nod to our staff and working that relationship. And the Grosses are committed to this hospital here in Laguna Beach.
Right.
All the money's going to go there, and it's going to make a huge impact, especially right here in Laguna.
Good for them. And good for the hospital as well, Jim. And good work that you guys are doing over there. So thank you very much. Hey, after the break, we got a one-minute musical break. Miss April, let's get ready for this. We've got a cast of thousands coming in.
Wow.
I don't know how many celebrities, but you're going to want to listen. So this is KX93.5. This is Radio Caravan. We're back in 60 seconds. Miss April.
See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, forget you. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, forget you, and forget her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be with ya. No, ain't that some shit? And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best. But I forget you. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't afford a Ferrari, but that don't mean I can't get you there. I guess he's an Xbox and I'm more of a Atari. But the way you play your game ain't fair. I picture the fool that falls in love with you.
Oh, she's a golden.
Well,
just don't you know.
Ooh, I've got some news for you. Yeah, go on and tell your little boy free. See you driving round town with the girl I love, and I'm like, forget you. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. Forget you. I just a
one for your dad. Yeah, she did. And I'm like,
am I on?
We're on.
All right, let's restart this. We got the cameras rolling? 2 seconds here for the camera. Make sure the mics are on. This is KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM.
Is this good here?
Cut. I don't know what we're doing here.
I'm the only one that's ever ready.
All right, here we go. Ready? You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. I'm here with my co-host, of course, Jim Bastian, who's doing something over there with his telephone, which we hate, of course, and Jill Harvey, who's here. Jim?
I had a text from the ambassador was texting me back.
Oh,
I'm
no
trying
kidding.
To lay the groundwork for maybe a potential guest.
I apologize.
So
I'm
working
all right.
for the show.
Sounds like BS to me. Yeah.
All right.
The ambassador from Argentina?
That's right.
Do you know that my boss has just become the ambassador to Hungary, Colleen Bell.
Right. It was funny because...
Was she there?
Well, she wasn't. They you know the story then. They went through at the same time.
Absolutely.
Lots
yeah.
of controversy.
Let me just tell our listeners. So, oh.
Shall we tell them who you are?
Oh, well, you can tell
them. Why don't you tell them?
No, you tell them. This is your show. Do it. Come on.
Hey, we have in the room, we have Jeff Trakta, who was Thorn on the soap opera Bold and the Beautiful for 8 years.
And Colleen Bell...
Okay.
Was the producer of that show, and she was just made the ambassador to Hungary. Isn't that
wow,
amazing?
Wow, that is
right.
amazing.
And
so how did you know all this?
Well, because my buddy Noah and Colleen were sort of pilloried in the press about their lack of qualifications and how it was sort of a Hollywood West Coast, you know, they were big supporters of Obama and donated a bunch of money or bundled and raised a bunch of money. So Jon Stewart was just railing on my buddy and Colleen.
Yes, but they are, let me tell you something about Colleen Bell.
Yeah.
You've been a producer for The Bold and the Beautiful for 15 years. You have dealt with domestic violence. You have dealt with every issue out there. And she really, it was McCain who was really coming down hard right. on her.
Oh.
And someone said that, well, at least Colleen Bell is not angry and she can make friends. And she really is. She's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
So it's really
nice.
Cool.
What was your storyline on Bold and the Beautiful?
Oh,
I mean, who were you?
I played this guy named Thorn Forrester. And he was married to Macy, and I married her 5 times, actually.
On the show,
Yeah, 5 times in 8 years. And it only took, like, a couple of times I got thrown into jail. I had a wonderful time. Actually, Bold and Beautiful was my third soap opera. My first job when I was 22 was a show called One Life to Live.
Oh,
I played
wow.
a guy named Boyce McDonald.
Boyce?
Boyce.
Uh-huh.
And then I was on a show called Loving, where I played a character named Hunter Belden.
Great names.
You're getting a
little. They're like
this.
Porn names.
I went from Boyce.
Did I just say that?
How would
sorry.
You know?
Wow.
I went from Boyce to Hunter to Thorn, and I told my agent, I'm going to put it in my next contract that my name will be Al.
Yeah, just a normal name.
But they don't have Al's on soap operas.
Oh, yeah, I bet not. Yeah.
So,
hey, so, you know, you were voted, let me see if I got this right. You were voted Entertainer of the Year by Southern California Theater Review. You've opened for Liza Minnelli in Las Vegas. Is that true?
Yeah, at the Hilton.
Yeah. And so I how would you describe your act? I mean, we've got listeners right now. We have viewers on the cable show.
Yes.
They know nothing about your act yet.
Mm-hmm.
How do we kind of open that dialogue?
I'm sort of the vaudevillian of the new millennium. I do everything in my act. I sing, I dance, I do impressions, and make people happy. That's the whole goal.
I like that.
And
yeah.
And so... I've been very fortunate, though. I have to give it up because the man who brought me here to your radio show, his name is John McEntee.
Right.
And he's the guy who's responsible for bringing Terry Fader. Do you know who Terry Fader is?
Yeah.
He's the great ventriloquist
right. yep,
at
him.
The Mirage. John brought him to the Mirage and really recreated ventriloquism with this guy. And he took me, an impressionist, And this is more than just an impressionistic show.
Right.
I do, it's multimedia. There are all these screens behind me.
Right.
And as I'm on stage doing all of these characters, I transform myself onto the screen
behind
there.
You.
Yeah, as all the different people. So it becomes very interactive with the audience. And
and you know, I've gone online and I've researched it and I vetted it and I watched some of the YouTubes. And, you know, when John came to our attention through Jill, it was your you know, I looked at all his clients. I told you this on the phone the other day. I looked at all his clients, and the one person I sort of found myself, I mean, look, he's got a lot of great clients, don't get me wrong, but I was fascinated by what you do on that stage, because you really perform these great impersonations of these famous singers. And then you transform yourself into the multimedia screen behind you into these same singers, right?
Exactly.
So the Black Eyed Peas, for example, you're in the background on the big screen playing everybody.
Even Fergie.
And I was going to ask you.
I didn't think I had the legs for it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what does it feel
like? But Photoshop is amazing what they can do, you know.
What does it feel like to dress as Fergie, by the way?
Well,
channel her?
Well, I do female voices. I do basically every different. And it's so interesting because you're all like, well, come on, do something for us. Let me hear some of your. I started out as a little child. I mastered, I think, every cartoon voice that was out there, starting with,
"Are you with it, Rocky?
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull this rabbit out of a hat.
It's the professor and Rock Bottom.
Hey, boo-boo.
Gosh, Snoop, let's blow this coop, Snoop. Tennessee Tuxedo never fails.
You've been watching the McGillic Gorilla Show. Mush mask, let it in your ear.
Oh, Pookie Poo. Come on, Puffy Cat, you can't make me.
Exit, stage left even.
I'm Popeye the Skipper, skibbidi-bop-bop-bidi-bop-pie. Cool.
Whoa! Round of applause.
That's awesome.
And I know what you're thinking.
What?
His poor parents.
Oh, yeah.
And the interesting thing is, my mom suffered from depression.
Oh.
Because I did these voices. No, because my mom suffered from depression, and I think because, and she was addicted to the soap operas.
Oh, she was?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Days of Our Lives. I used to say my mom lived her, she,
April.
We were talking about it. She watches Days of Our Lives. My mom lived her life vicariously through the most important people in her life, the Horton family. So I was raised by that. And so I think me becoming a performer, particularly a soap opera actor, was an attempt on my part to make a very depressed person happy.
Did you gravitate toward those voices to entertain your mom?
Oh, yeah. And I could do every neighbor, and I could do every relative, and I could do every teacher that I went to.
Did she respond?
Oh, yeah. She would laugh and laugh and laugh. And that, I think, was part of, you know, my whole process.
Well, that's interesting the way you came to that. Did you ever go through bouts of depression yourself?
Oh, well, when I was on Loving, the soap opera, which was on ABC, one day they called me into the producer's office and they said, "We have good news and bad news."
That's never
good.
And
I said, "Oh, what's the good news?" "The good news, you have made Hunter Belden the most evil, heinous character we have ever had on our show. The bad news is that on July 6th, he will be shot."
Oh.
And I said, "Shot dead?" Because, you know.
You never know.
Because you can be shot and a week later you're in the shower. And actually... they killed my character, and I remember I told Joe Stewart, the producer, I said, "Joe, I want to thank you for an incredible experience, and I honestly believe when God closes one door, a new door will open," and as I later told my friends, I walked out of the door of his office and straight into psychotherapy.
Are you serious, though?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You were so depressed?
No, it wasn't being killed on the soap opera. That was the trigger that allowed an existing depression that was already there. I grew up in an alcoholic household, two alcoholics, violence. So that all goes into
itself.
It. Yeah. And fortunately, I got with a great, great therapist, but I really paid the price as a 24-year-old. I spent 6 months not getting out of a bed.
Really?
Yeah.
That was devastating.
Devastating.
Yeah.
And they put me on every drug known to man at that point.
Helpful, the drugs, or not?
No, actually, they just made my depression get worse because I had all of the side effects from all of the drugs. And I believe in drug therapy. Don't get me wrong. I really think a lot of people are helped by it. But for me, in my situation, it didn't help at all.
Got you. Yeah.
So, but talk therapy, that is what saved my life.
Talk to me about what is talk therapy. I mean, this is an interesting
thing. I had a wonderful man named Dr. Glenn Bowles, who basically said there are real reasons why a kid like you would be this suicidally depressed, and if we get to the bottom, we can, you know, clean out. He used to say it's like cleaning up a sewer. You've got to get down in there and you got to rip out all of the dirt. And he said, you will experience joy. And I have to say, I'm 54 now, and I have never been happier in my life.
Yeah.
And I've had, and it's not based on externals. It's based on the internal monologue that I live with every moment. And I enjoy life now.
Good.
And I didn't think you could have this much fun.
That sounds great.
Sounds cool.
It looks like you're having fun on stage.
Oh, too. My God. I have more fun. And so, yeah, getting back to the show. So I got a little heavy there. Too
no,
quick,
no, 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 no. We talked about maybe that.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. My dad sold TV sets for a living at the Staten Island Mall in Sears. And we didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up, but you can bet we had the biggest television on the block, and I spent my entire childhood glued to it.
Yeah, Gloria, Archie and I is real glad to be on 93.5.
Archie's staring at you.
Not everybody may recognize those particular voices.
Yeah, but
your
you
generation.
Do. Yeah.
I do.
Oh, and
Jim?
The
Jeff,
thing
can
is,
you sing the theme?
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
And those were the days, because I grew up watching everything that's on TV land. So, and in my act, I do this thing. I was like, can you imagine what the stars that we grew up watching, if they were on television today, the topics that they would discuss?
Yeah.
For example, Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan, my boy, get me off of this godforsaken island. Mrs. Howell is feeling a bit frisky, and I'm having trouble raising the old minnow. I need some Viagra.
Or Mr. Haney from Green Acres. Mr. Douglas, welcome to the Hooterville Starbucks. For only $16.17, I will sell you this here triple venti non-fat soy pumpkin spice latte.
Mr. Haney, it's a cup of coffee.
But you're getting free Wi-Fi. Oh, you remember Bewitched?
Sure.
Yes. Samantha. Now, this is an interesting thing. When I was a kid, we had gay characters on television, but they weren't out. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were. They just didn't know it.
Yeah, but could you imagine if they had been? For example, Uncle Arthur from Samantha, I want you to meet my significant other, Clay Aiken.
You know, it's funny. It's funny to even watch your facial expressions as you're going through those impressions. Are those necessary in order to do the voice?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's sort of, it's a, I don't, people ask me how I do it, and I have to be honest with you, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just is there. And I could do it when I was a little kid. Like when I was a toddler, I could do an impression of, you know, my baby brother John. I could do a baby, and I was like four, and I was running around the house, or the family dog, Duchess. Long-haired Chihuahua.
Have you ever used this to play pranks on people, like call them?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I got tickets once to see Charles Nelson Reilly in a show in Hollywood. Do you remember Charles Nelson
Reilly? Sure.
No, because, and I will tell you why. Let's get one thing straight. I'm not.
No, but I called the theater, and I think it was like the Doolittle Theater, and I pretended that I was Charles.
I said, yes, this is Charles Reilly. I want you to leave two house seats for a man named Jeff Tractor.
The guy, oh, absolutely, Mr. Reilly, I'll do it.
Wow.
And I got tickets.
Nice.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What's it takes to be a great impersonator? What does it take?
Mental illness, focus. Mental illness, focus.
Yeah.
So, and I love, you know, I was doing the cartoons for you before, but I love the cartoons today. And actually, the opening of Family Guy, you know what that's a takeoff from? All in the Family, when she's sitting at the piano.
Oh.
But where are those good old fish and values? What the deuce do you think you're doing? Back off, fat man.
Giggity, 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 goo. Hi, Chris. Come on, Jesse, let's go make some poops and bees.
Jeff, oh my gosh.
Remember that show Dream On? It was on HBO. It was about the guy who was so entranced with television in the 50s and 60s. He would fade in and out of TV episodes in his real life.
Oh, wow.
And you're sitting
Sounds like my life.
It does, absolutely. Yeah, ran on HBO from in the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, so I watching those cartoons, I think, triggered something. The voice has to be interesting.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to get the essence of the voice.
Right.
For example, Ray Romano. The essence of Ray Romano is, yay!
Yeah.
So if you can go, yay, look at this. I've learned a lot being a parent. I've learned I don't like children. Or Joan Rivers, who had one of the great voices, and don't we miss Joan Rivers?
Yes. We do. Yeah.
Her essence was this. Ah!
That's true.
If you can do, ah, can we talk? My God, I live to be 82 years old. And let me tell you something. My daughter, Melissa, kept saying, Mom, make a bucket list. Make a bucket list. So I made the stupid bucket list. Then I changed the B to an F. And I was
Love it.
We're on radio. I didn't know where that was going. Hey, we're going to take a 30-second break just to give you a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your actual stage show and the music you do and the impersonations of really phenomenal singers,
cool.
And you do an incredible job on that. You're listening to Cakes 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This is Radio Caravan. We're here in the studio with Jeff Trakta, celebrity impersonator. We're back in 60 April. Take us out. Listen to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This is Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes, here with my co-host Jim Bastian and Jill Harvey. What do you think of our guest this morning, Jeff Trakta, by the way?
I was a little, off this morning. We had our firm holiday party, and I'm just right on now. It's great. He's firing me up.
Did you really have the firm holiday party last night?
We did. Uh-huh.
All right. That's interesting. Jill, what do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Yep. Truly amazing. What a gift. that you have. Although, I must say, Thorne, how dare you show up after all these years?
Oh, my God.
You were my brother, then my lover, and now you are my betrayer. How could you do that?
I used to say that I was known for such lines as, Brooke, you know I can't remember shooting my brother in the head. I have amnesia, I think. And it's a very interesting thing. The Bold and the Beautiful is seen in over 100 different countries, and they dub the show. So it's a really odd experience for me to go to one of those places and put a television set on, see my face going, Brook, again, you better don't repeat. We don't win, better don't again. Amnesia.
No translation for that word, huh?
Scott, what's coming to my mind as I'm watching Jeff is Robin Williams, frankly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've not had this belly laughter over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking about it, and it's actually, I'm going to say it right now, Jeff, your impersonations are in many respects better than what I've seen from Williams.
Well, can I tell you something? If Robin Williams had gotten the therapy that I got when I was 22 years old, he would be alive today.
Yeah. Good.
And the problem is people deal with depression in a variety of ways. And most people, which is our society, has accepted that, have a drink, and that will take it away. And that is the exact opposite of what you should do to make yourself feel good. Because it's a depressive, and it's just pulling you down. And unfortunately, he didn't get the help, and it's so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about your stage show that you're doing. You're doing these famous singers. I've got a list of some of them here. April, are you going to be ready to play a few of these for us? You do everybody from the Black Eyed Peas, Eminem, Frank Sinatra, Billy Joel, Bob Dylan, Smokey Robinson, Lady Antebellum, Chris Isaac.
All three of Lady Antebellum.
CeeLo Green, Lady Gaga, Andrea Bocelli, Elton John. You do all of these singing voices on stage.
And every background voice as well.
And every background voice.
Yeah, so like if you hear overdubbed? Like oohs and ahs behind me, it's all me. I spent a lot of time creating the
I was going to ask, there must have been a lot of resources and time spent in creating just the multimedia and the recordings of these.
Huge amount of time. But the most fun I have ever had, there's a great musician named Rick Cowling who created the tracks for my show and with me. And do you know the group Ambrosia? He was the lead singer of Ambrosia.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun creating this. And John McEntee, who is really a genius at knowing what the audience is going to love. Like, he would come up with, no, you've got to do this song. And he didn't want me, actually, we're not even doing Sinatra in the show anymore. He wants me to do characters that no one has really heard. He would not let me do, like, Elvis Presley or the, Johnny Mathis or Sammy Davis or the characters that we get used to hearing an impressionist do. So he had me, like, doing Boy George and Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman.
So how long did it take you to put all of this together, would you say?
Well, I'm still putting it together. It's it's growing. Every time a hit song comes out, I'm working on it. And so it's constant work, and I've made a lot of money in my career.
Right.
I've made more money in the last year than I have in my entire life doing corporate events.
Wow.
All around the world, these corporations have big bucks. And so I have had more success than I have ever had doing voices.
You're having the time of your life.
I'm having the time of my life.
Beautiful. Let's hear a couple of these impressions. Let's start with maybe the Black Eyed Peas, April, track number one, I Got a Feeling. And as we listen to this, Jeff, if you want to kind of comment over.
Yeah, these are the opening notes. This is wasted airtime.
Yes. You gotta keep talking.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night.
That's you, right?
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night.
That's so on the screen right now. You'll see the two of us coming up out of the floor. And then all four of us show up. And I come out and I'm singing live with myself as all four Black Eyed Peas.
That's amazing.
And if you have a great lighting man, It's pretty freaking awesome. And a little fog and a little smoke goes a long way.
All right, let's listen to Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan, track number 7, Jeff Tracta.
This is also wasted hair.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bums a dime in your prime. People call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall. You thought,
yeah, I think you're a little too articulate there for Bob Dylan. Because if you see him perform on stage, it's all mumble.
Well, yeah, especially today. I heard he's going to be doing a new album of Sinatra. Have you heard
that?
That's
going to be a disaster.
April.
We were just talking about art and how an upside-down toilet bowl can be considered art.
And I wouldn't drink.
Cut Bob Dylan some slack. The man is a poet.
Oh, he's a poet. There's no doubt about it.
I'm a Minnesota girl. I cannot.
Scott, can we go to Eminem?
You want to do Eminem, Lose Yourself, number 2.
That's what I play for our football team.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Oh, okay. Great.
Even if you live.
Well, that's me doing George Burns.
To be 100 years old.
No, let it go. Let it go.
Okay.
It goes very quickly.
It goes very quickly. So I start off as George Burns.
Look.
How you doing?
Doing Eminem. Listen.
If you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? Yo.
You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot.
It. I want to hear Boy George, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, number 11. When I first saw Boy George on TV back then, I was a little kind of put off by his appearance, but always a great singer. I was. No, I mean, it was like seeing Marilyn Manson for the first time. No, I'm being totally serious. That's how I felt it. I mean, I didn't know Marilyn Manson.
Have you seen Boy George lately?
Yeah, I have. Far different.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson was just in Sons of Anarchy, the last episode, I think.
Actually, when I was a doorman at Morgan's Hotel in New York when I was struggling, Boy George stayed at the hotel and invited me to his birthday party at the garage. And I went. And I also got invited to see Patti LaBelle at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
By Patti LaBelle.
Wow.
And got a front row seat.
What a lifestyle you live.
Well, I was broke at this point. I needed the free tickets. But I was a really good doorman, and as far as I was concerned, I was opening doors for my career. Every door I opened.
That's beautiful. Andrea Bocelli, track number 18, Time to Say Goodbye.
Oh, this
beautiful
is a really
song.
Long intro.
Okay, so can you speed it up?
You can speed up. We'll be here for a year.
All right. Well, and you're doing Sarah Brightman at the same time.
Yeah, just fast forward into it.
I don't even know if we can use these for television. I don't think we have
fast forward.
Copyright. Yeah. You
for cable television?
Yeah. I think we're okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Oh, and that would be your end.
That's me and Sarah Brightman.
That's you.
It's too early in the morning.
No, it's a beautiful song. I love this song. Let me ask you something. It seems to me that in order for somebody to do what you do and do it so well, you have to start with the foundation of being a great singer. And my guess is, deep down inside, you consider yourself a pretty phenomenal singer, yes?
Well, no, I don't.
You don't?
I consider myself, I can carry a tune.
Uh-huh.
No, I've worked very hard, and when I was in therapy with that doctor years ago, he said, Jeff, you have a decision to make with your life. You can either lay in the bed and die, or you can recognize that right now the universe is expanding at a rate that your mind and my mind can't comprehend. And if you want, you can join into the expansion and you can make anything happen. There's one trick to doing it. You do it. Mm. So if you want to be an entertainer, I suggest, because I remember what I said to him. I said, well, you know, he wanted me to take acting lessons. And I said, well, you know, my mother always told me I was natural. And he says, well, if your mother was going to have open heart surgery, would she go to a natural surgeon? I thought he had a good point. Yeah. So I started studying with all of the great acting teachers in New York, mm-hmm. and then I started taking voice lessons from everybody. I've taken more voice lessons from more voice teachers probably than anybody. Hmm. Because when I was doing Broadway in New York, I was playing Danny Zuko in Tommy Toon's revival of Grease. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. They had Thorne, my character from The Bold and the Beautiful, go on to become a Broadway star. Hmm. And I'm singing on Broadway, and I started studying with every great teacher that was there. And I did find that the more I learned, the more I could do, and it never ends. It doesn't end. And, you know, I don't want to say how many voices I can do because every day I keep working on creating new ones. And
so how many do you do?
Well, we say we do 100 in the show at least.
Yeah.
So, but
is it harder for you to be a singer, to be an impersonator, or to be a comedian? Which of the three skills or talents is more difficult for you?
I love doing all three of them. It's very difficult.
They come all naturally for you?
Yeah, and doing one without the other would feel like I... This is the thing. When I was on The Bold and the Beautiful, I told Bill Bell, the creator of the show, Colleen Bell's stepdad. She married his son, so that would make her his... daughter-in-law. Yeah. Okay, Her father-in-law hired me, and I said, I want to sing on your show. And he said, yes, you and every other actor I've ever hired wants to sing on my show. I said, but I really do sing. He said, yes, I know, Jeff, but your character is having a nervous breakdown right now because you're going to, and I thought, oh, I got this one in the bag. You're going to shoot your brother, Ridge, in the head, and then you're going to get amnesia, and I promise you, you will have nothing to sing about. So I waited for like a year. And then I sang for him, and a week later I was singing on the show.
Wow.
Very cool.
And then they made my character a singer.
Oh.
And so then I made albums.
Three
multi-platinum albums internationally with the girl, actually, who you watched on All My Children. Her name is Bobby Eakes. She played Crystal. She was married to Adam, but she was carrying Tad's baby.
Shocking.
We need subtitles for this.
You think I'm making this up?
I love this stuff.
No,
shocking.
The two of us got together and we started making albums that went triple platinum internationally because of the popularity of The Bold and the Beautiful, and we're playing 10,000 seat arenas in Amsterdam, and I'm on stage singing in front of all of these people, and the only thing that I'm thinking is what that psychologist said to me, you can make anything happen. And it all came from me going, I'd like to sing on your show. Like one little comment, one little phrase, and... this all happened, and it all comes from within. We can create anything we want.
That's a beautiful.
You just have to work your butt off.
Yeah.
And I did. I worked my butt off, but I had so much fun doing it. And you can actually go on. You can go on like Amazon and buy one of my CDs for like 62 cents. They have no, seriously. They have them on. Where can you buy CDs?
Amazon.
Oh, yeah. And Bobby and I have songs on iTunes.
We got 2 minutes. We got 2 minutes, by the way. Beautiful story, by the way. Thank you so much for coming
you.
In and sharing your story with us. A
Scott,
testimony to some extent.
You talked You talked about your being so happy.
Yes.
And you also talked about in the last year you've made more money than you ever have. I've listened to your career arc here as you've described it. You're doing what you enjoyed as a little kid, which
exactly.
is making voices,
so cool.
entertaining your mother, and you're taking all of your skill sets and finally using them all in this amazing outlet. Which,
very perceptive.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Mom, proud of you? Have you had that conversation?
Has never seen the show.
Never have. Oh.
Never got help.
Hey, and that's your show.
Went the Robin Williams way of never getting help. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And
yeah.
everybody should know they can go to jeffchakta.com.
Oh, yeah.
So where can we learn about you? Good.
So, and I'm available for corporate events, and I'm opening. I have a show coming up. I'm playing a public show in Atlantic City on January 9th and January 10th at the Borgata, which is a spectacular hotel in Atlantic City for any of your listeners who are going east. I've got shows coming up in Detroit, and I've just been a busy boy, and I've never been happier, like I said.
What's a website they can go to learn more about you?
Jeff Trakta, TRACTA, Jeff, TRACTA.com.
Beautiful. We're out of here. Can you lead us out with some sort of interesting voice? And April will slowly fade us out for the end of the show here. By the way, this is KX93.5 Laguna's Only FM.
Larry the Cable Guy here. Good to see you. Good to see you. I dated this girl. She had one boob bigger than another. Entered the wit t-shirt contest. Took first and third place. I was so proud of my sister.
Jeff Tracta, everybody. Woo! I'm Scott Hayes. Taking us out of here, April.
Bye.
Little music.
For the phone, 'cause I can't fight it anymore.